Well, let's open the word now, and we want to go to Matthew 25. And actually, in Matthew 25, the first 13 verses is what we're going to look at tonight, have to do with the parable of the 10 virgins. Now, I know I just asked you to turn to Matthew 25, but before we start the parable of the 10 virgins, which have to do with end times, that's what we've been studying in Matthew 24, is the second coming of Jesus. I'd like to turn with you to Matthew 24, John chapter 14, John 14, and the first few verses there to set the stage for the parable of the 10 virgins with talking about a typical Jewish wedding. Because we know that when Jesus comes back again to get us, he's going to take us to heaven. And we're going to be on honeymoon there with him for about 7 years. And then in Revelation chapter 19, we're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the way it was with wedding receptions in Jewish weddings. So let's turn to John chapter 14. And I want to lay out to you a typical Jewish wedding, which Jesus is actually following in the Gospels, speaking about his second coming, speaking about receiving his bride to himself. Now, in chapter 14 of John, and the first few verses here, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now, in the typical Jewish wedding, if a young man was attracted to a young Jewish lady, she would go to her house and really introduce himself to her father and her mother, and the father and mother would be present as they met together in the little front room. And if this man would like to propose to this woman in marriage, he would actually pour her a glass of wine, and if she wants to say yes to the marriage, she would receive the wine and drink it. So many a nervous groom was waiting to see her take that sip and saying yes. If she refused to drink, then she was saying no, and it was over. And so many a nervous man waiting for that yes. Just an observation quickly, and I brought this up at communion services before. I think it's so precious to think of ourselves as the bride of Christ at a communion service. And what are we doing as we take the cup? We're saying, "Yes, Lord, I'm yours. I belong to you. When you come, I want to be the bride of Christ." I love that imagery. Then the young man would give a little speech along the lines of the speech that Jesus just gave here at the Last Supper, when he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." And the young man then would go back to his father's house and build an extension to his father's house. And when you travel in the Middle East today, you can see this. You can see it in operation in some sections even today, where the sons have added additions onto the family home to bring the bride back to. And so the son would begin preparing that house. Now, he then later would come to get the bride, and she didn't know when he was coming. Oh no, it's a surprise. And so he had to get permission from his father first. He would build and build and build and construct on this little home for his bride, and say, "Dad, is this okay?" "No, you just put up 4 2x4s. Are you kidding me? Get to it, buddy. Build a nice house for the lady." And then he would go. And then it was in the hands of the father to say when it was time for the young man to go and get his bride. And so he didn't even know when it would be okay. He was preparing a place, and the place had to be okay with dad before he could come. And this really helps us understand the scripture in the last chapter that we read before Matthew 25, Matthew 24, where it says, no man knows the day or the hour, only the Father. Only the Father knows the day or the hour of the coming of the Lord, just like in a Jewish wedding. And so we read this. Now I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, with this background on what's taken place in a Jewish wedding and the things that Jesus say that fit in to that, it really helps us and opens up in a great vista the parable of the 10 virgins. So let's go back now to Matthew 25 and begin this parable. Jesus has been just talking about the rapture and about waiting and watching for the rapture of the church, where two will be in a field and one will be taken and another one left. Therefore, be ready and watch and pray. Charles, is the air conditioner broken? Or? Oh, thank you. That's a really great idea. Okay, so let's begin reading now. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, oil represents the touch and the power of the Holy Spirit of God throughout the whole Bible. The anointing oil made with frankincense and other fine, what's frankincense called? A spice. Anyway, these beautiful smelling concoctions that the Lord told the people to make were to anoint the high priest. Yeah, to anoint him. Pour the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and flow down upon his beard and to his clothes. And God gave the command, like even life forevermore. And the anointing of the priest, and it's such a beautiful, Psalm 133, a beautiful thing we see in the scriptures about the oil. Then in the New Testament it says, if any be sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and they should anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will raise up the sick, and if they've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven those sins. And may I give the invitation again. The elders all meet together in the front room out there at 6:30 every third Tuesday of the month. And if you ever show up for prayer, we stop everything. It doesn't matter what we are doing. You're more important. We stop. And we will put you in the center of the room in a chair, and we will encircle you, and every single elder will say a prayer for you as we anoint you with oil. And we believe in that in this church because the Lord speaks of it. So the oil represents the Holy Spirit. Well, we read here, you see, there were these foolish virgins that had their lamps, but they took no oil with them. They weren't really filled with the Holy Ghost. They were just kind of in a religious game. Lots of folks go to church that don't know the Lord. Lots of folks go to religious activities and even read their Bibles, but have never accepted Christ as their Savior and asked for the touch and the beauty of the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, Jesus said, I and my Father will dwell with you, and the Holy Spirit shall be with you and shall be in you, in you. And so the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come and dwell personally in your heart and in your life when you accept Christ as your Savior and bring your sins to Him and accept His righteousness. Well, you see, these 5 foolish virgins had no oil. They were just religious, and it won't get you there. You'll never get to heaven just by being good. The rules were laid down years ago when the spikes went in the wood. Those are the rules. Jesus gave his life for me. And then I turn my life back over to him, which is my reasonable service. But the wise, you see, took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Yes, they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. While the bridegroom tarried, they slumbered and slept. Now at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him. Now, normally, this was the best man. And actually, the Bible really teaches that John the Baptist is the best man. So, you know, I'm kind of curious about when Jesus comes, if there'll be a shout from John the Baptist before the rapture happens. The Bible does say the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. So the archangel will bring in his voice, Michael, into it. I wonder if John might say a few words to John the Baptist, because in the Gospels, he's really referred to as the best man. And so at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him. And so when the girl hears that cry, oh, the excitement rises in her heart. Her bridegroom has come. He's finished the preparation of that house, next to the Father's house. And he's now come to get his bride. And all the bridesmaids are excited. And so it's time. And she didn't know when he was coming, but she was ready. Her lamp was filled with oil. Those that have their lamp filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit of God and have set their hands to the plow and are not looking back, but going about the work of the Lord, are ready when he comes. You know, I often thought I would really not like to be in a bar when Jesus shows up. Thank you very much. Or any place that would be displeasing to him. And so you never know, oh man, when that shout's going to come. And so at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. They lit their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now there's some folks that think that they're going to go to heaven because their dad and mom are really strong Christians, and they were raised in a great church, and they've always been real close to mom. And if mom goes in the rapture, I'll just grab her foot and go too. I don't think so. No way. No. Because there's no oil there. They've never accepted Christ themselves. You know what? The Lord has no grandchildren. He just has children. Just children. And everybody's got to make their own decision for him or against him. And so the foolish that didn't have the oil, weren't filled with the Holy Spirit, they said, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, truly, I say to you, I know you not. Now here is the major part of a scripture to let us know these people didn't know the Lord. This isn't some deal where a Christian got waylaid and went astray or something and God couldn't get him back and et cetera, et cetera. We're talking about a non-believer here. I know you not. Remember what Jesus said to those that would say, Lord, didn't we do many works in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. You didn't know me. I don't know you. And so these are just religious people that have sat well in a pew. but really never committed their hearts to Jesus. And so he'll say, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." And then he warns, and he says to all those that are reading this parable, and that would include us tonight, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes." So we're to be watching. And he wanted to use this parable of the Jewish wedding because he has said so many things before, as we mentioned to you, and so many things about this in his instructions for the second coming. He is very personal God. He wants to be very close to us. And in being very, very close to us, we have a relationship with him. There's a relationship. And so what goes on in my life, not just on Sunday or Saturday or Wednesday, but every single day of my life, I am close to him. I am knowing him. I have this knowledge of him, and he has knowledge of me. And when I see him face to face, the scripture tells me that I will know even as I am known. And so he'll never say to me, "I know you not," because I know he knows me. He's come into my heart. We've spoken together in our hearts together, and we walk together and we talk together. This is what he wants. This is what he desires with every single person on earth. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, that we should be ready and waiting for him. Now, just to review a little bit from last week's study, let's go back to Matthew 24, verses 45 and 46, where he defines a person that's watching. What does it mean to watch? What does it mean to be ready? And he simply says what we've been sharing all along from this parable. It says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing." So very simply, watching is a doing thing. Watching is a doing thing, being doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. And so he has empowered us and blessed us with his Holy Spirit and given us gifts for one another. You know, I was just enjoying the gift of one of my granddaughters this very day. Her name is Abigail. And little Lukey, who is only 7, was afraid to snorkel today. We went snorkeling this morning. The family's visiting from different areas. They've come together. They're staying at our house. And little Lukey was afraid to go near the water. And his mom was trying to coax him and trying to entrust him to me. Said, "Poppy, we'll take you out on the boogie board," and da-da-da-da-da-da. He would not go. But I'm telling you, that Abigail, she's something. She's 16 years old, but she's got this thing for kids. She's a Sunday school teacher at her dad's church. And she started working on Lukey. Next thing I know, Lukey's saying, "Poppy, get the boogie board ready, I'm going snorkeling." And I put him, I couldn't believe my eyes, because this child has refused the water for so many years. And he got up on the board, and I pushed him out to where the fish were. I said, "Lukey, you want to see some fish?" And he said, "Yeah," and he's got his little snorkel on and his mask, you know. I said, "Okay, it's time." And I'm picturing my mind trying to explain to him to scoot up to the edge of the boogie board and just put his mask in the water so he can see the reef and the fish. He just jumps off. Yeah. Jumped into the water. I was shocked. But I reached my hand out and I said, "No, Lukey, what I meant is just scoot up on the board and put your face in." And it went so well after that. But both Christy and I were just marveling over Abigail's little gift that she has. And then later, Christy was trying to get Lukey to go into the waves. He's never been in the waves. He's always been sitting up, and they had to put a tent over him Last time we were at the beach, we said, put a tent over Lukey because he's not going near the water and he's going to need shade. But anyway, so Christy tried again. His little sister, well, they're twins, but she is a little younger because Lukey came out first. Has been in the water for a long time, but he would not go in the waves. So she said, you know what, I'm going to try Abigail again. And she did. She went over and said, Abigail, can you try to get Lukey in the water? Lo and behold, there he is in the water. We're all shocked. But it was just the most amazing thing to see. You know that Abigail, she's an angel baby, I'll tell you right now. I could brag about her all day. But she really has a gift from God to work with kids and to have kids entrust themselves to her and lead them. In the Bible and in every other way. So I just say that. It was a great experience today for us. To say, you see again and again, if you watch carefully, how people are blessed by God with certain talents, mercy talents. I told Abigail, I said, Abigail, you got the gift of mercy. You're just merciful to these kids and they feel it. They feel your love. And different types of things. There's a gift of administration, a gift of prophecy, a gift of a word of knowledge, word of wisdom. We went through these gifts last time we had an afterglow. But it is a wonderful thing to see all these things. Now, the Lord wants us to watch for Him, and the way we watch is to be about these things, enjoying the gifts of the Holy Ghost that He has given us to help other folks, to just be a living, walking example of the Lord Jesus' life in living in and through us. It's kind of like somebody once said years ago, Jesus with skin on. I want to see Jesus with skin on, please. And you know, the Lord fills people like you and I, normal, everyday people, to be Jesus with skin on, representing Him and His abilities to minister to people, to help people, to relieve people of their fears. Have you ever had somebody really neat wait on you at a grocery store or in a supermarket or whatever? Yeah, they're both the same. So, but you just go, this person just made my day in your heart. You're just going, this was a blessing, a wonderful thing just happened to me because I feel better because I've been around this certain person. You know, that's what God does. That's what He wants to do with you and with me. And He empowers us and gives us gifts to do that. I'd like to just let you know again that, you see, without the Holy Spirit of God, none of this is really possible. The Lord's Spirit is in charge of every good and perfect gift that comes down from above. His Spirit is what does this, is who brings this. And so I'd like to end tonight in our study at 1 Corinthians 12:4. And let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. And show you a few scriptures here that just lets us know this with no uncertain terms. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. By the way, the Holy Spirit is mentioned here, the same Spirit. There's diversities or all kinds of different gifts. That's what's so exciting about the body of Christ. And all you different people right here tonight, you're all different. Just like there's no one snowflake the same as another. There's no one person that's exactly the same as another. It's exciting. It's variety, like the variety of plants or the varieties of animals that God has created. And so there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations of the same gift. You can have the gift of teaching, and you're teaching on the phone. You can have the gift of teaching, and you're teaching from the pulpit. You can have the gift of teaching, and you're teaching to the Sunday school children. there are different administrations, but the same Lord, Jesus. And there are diversities of operations or workings, but it is the same God which works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every single person to profit everyone else. Oh, how we're profited from one another and the things that God shows each of us. That's why fellowship is so rich and is so sweet. You'll be just talking to somebody after a service and they'll say something and something will click and you just go, wow, that is from the Lord. Because God is moving. Where two or three or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of, I'm in the middle of them and I'm working. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every person to profit everybody else. For to one is given by the Spirit word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To the another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the different kinds of the discerning of spirits, which is actually knowing when an evil spirit is present that needs to be rebuked, or knowing when God is there making a wonderful thing to say, a discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all of these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He wills. And so God touches us with these gifts of the Spirit as He wills. And so it's exciting to know that He's in charge. And I just look to Him. I just wait upon Him. And as we're going to wait upon the Lord here in just a minute or two, just being open to let God use you. You might find a song on your heart you just feel led to sing out. You might find a word of knowledge to speak out to the rest of the body of Christ, a word of wisdom. A scriptures that's burning in your heart that you need to read. Something along those lines. You might feel led to get up and share something with the person next to you or a person that you just feel led to go to. These are all natural and wonderful things that God does that edify and build up the body of Christ. And so that's what we want to do tonight. We just want to wait on the Lord. Don't feel obligated or forced to do anything, but just enjoy the Lord. And we'll just let the Lord move as He will. And just speak to us. I said this last time we did this, and I'll say it again. I have no idea what God's going to do tonight, but I'm excited about it. These afterglows, when we wait upon God, they're always different. But they're always the same because it's the same Spirit. The Spirit of the living God using the body of Christ to minister to the body of Christ. So I'm going to have Daniel and Brittany come back up and sing a song for us. And then we're just going to wait upon the Lord, be open to the Lord, and let yourself just be ministered to by God and be open to minister for Him.